The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
One of the things I wanted to make clear from the start here is that leadership, I believe, it's a gift according to Romans chapter 12. It says, those who lead, lead with diligence. It seems to be a gift. Now, I don't think that you have to be a pastor of a church, a senior pastor, for example, is what we call them nowadays. You don't have to be a director of a large ministry to be a leader.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Hello, everyone. Larry Dubois here, and this is our leadership series. This is going to be episode 2. The first one I did, I actually entitled it under some sort of, I think it was called Ministry Philosophy. I decided now to revamp it, and the first episode, of course, was about filling in for a leader, you know, as a junior partner, if you will, as a someone out there in the crowd, upcoming young man or even woman nowadays, if you're asked to fill in and how to go about doing that. So that video is available under the playlist of leadership series. This is episode 2, and I've entitled it basically, it's out of Acts chapter 13. It's entitled Prayer, Fasting, and Sending. And we're going to see that the leadership did in the book of Acts there. I also did in my ongoing Bible study in the book of Acts in chapter 13, which was quite a while ago, but you can always look that up and see the whole chapter there. And so let's take a look here. First thing I want to do is talk about these three topics about prayer. Obviously, a leader has to be a person of prayer. It should go without saying, but we're going to look specifically at the text here. And then we also have fasting. Fasting is a practice that in modern day America in the church probably isn't talked on, spoken about, taught about, practiced as much as it should be, as much as they were in the early church. It was part of the faith. It was a part of the way of ministry and the way of life as a Christian. I mean, we think of being a Christian. We think of reading the Bible and praying, going to church, worshiping, so on and so forth. And we have a list of activities and even in ministries. Very seldom fasting is on the top of the list for obvious reasons. But it is something that I've done in the past myself, and I admittedly confess I have not been a person of fasting as much as I used to, or as much as I think the Bible tells us that we should probably be doing it. And then we got the sending out. Now, this is a picture of when I went on my three-year journey traveling the country, preaching the gospel into many, many cities. I think it was over 200, something like that. And you'll see there that the church, Christ Bible Church at the time, officially sent me out, laid hands on me. There you got the group of elders and deacons. And also, I should mention Calvary Chapel in Roseville also sent me away as well, praying over me, praying over my van, and sending me off with some finances as well. I had been moving back and forth between the Sacramento area, which is where I'm at now, Sacramento, and I'm was in the Bay Area for a number of years. And so I had two different churches, if you will, home churches. And I remember when I left town here in the Sacramento area, the Calvary Chapel of Roseville said, well, you're always going to be part of our family, so even though you're moving. So But they were definitely ones that also, but we didn't get any pictures of when they prayed over me. But so I want to give equal time to both churches, love them both. And they were very supportive, as well as many other independent churches that I just had a sort of an association with as a friend, a faraway friend. Those churches also supported me. But anyway, back to our text and our message. Let's go to my notes here. Let's see here. I'll put up our notes. And let's go ahead and I'm going to read the text, and then we'll go there on each verse and check it out. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. All right, so we got our three main things for this lesson included in this passage. Now, you know, most of the time when you hear a leadership series, or especially about pastors and that, it's going to be taken out of the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And of course, we'll probably go into that somewhat as well. And some of these other passages that I have found in passing probably aren't as obvious, but they are definitely included in leadership. Now, one of the things I wanted to make clear from the start here is that leadership, I believe it's a gift according to Romans chapter 12. It says, "Those who lead, lead with diligence." It seems to be a gift. Now, I don't think that you have to be a pastor of a church, a senior pastor, for example, is what we call them nowadays. You don't have to be a director of a large ministry to be a leader. You are a leader if you're by yourself. You got to lead yourself, right? You're a leader if your ministry consists of yourself and a couple other people. And you may not have an official bona fide ministry, but nevertheless, it is a real ministry. You may be the minister of your household, right? As the man of the house, you have your wife and children, or maybe just your wife, maybe just your children, whatever the case, you are a leader in your household. So leadership is not limited to someone who's a pastor of a church. So just want to get that clear. There are distinctions, though. Some of the qualifications for a pastor may not apply to, say, the leader of a smaller group or something that isn't as official. But let's go ahead. Now, I had made these bullet points. In verse 2 there, it says, as a minister to the Lord. That little phrase, minister to the Lord. So guys that are in leadership, you want to be a person who ministers to the Lord, that you have an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Now, this should be obvious. It should be going without saying. You know, the first qualification is you must be saved. You know, you must be a person of prayer and that sort of thing. But the idea of ministering to the Lord, one must commune with God regularly and closely. That's what I put down there. You must be real close to the Lord, and that must be just a way of life for you. And also in verse 2, it says that they had fasted. And so again, as a leader, you must be a man that's willing to at times put away normal meals to fast. Now, there's a whole nother topic there that we're not going to go into all the elements of fasting. Just to say this, that when leaders fast, a lot of times they're fasting for direction of the church, or maybe there's an underlying problem in the church that isn't known to all the congregation, and it's sort of, they want to be discreet, but they want to fast for what to do about it, what direction to take, that sort of thing. And it may be just the pastor fasting, maybe the group of elders. Maybe it's a group of deacons fasting because they're deciding if they should put in a parking lot or something. And you know, for them and their ministry's skills and everything, that's important to them. So they want to really get close and to hear from God. So to just the idea of being open to the idea of fasting, it's part of being a leader. And in verse 3, of course, the obvious, being men of prayer. Verse 3, it says, then having fasted and prayed, and so that's what they did. They prayed. Back in Acts chapter, let's see, was it 6, where the first, they aren't called deacons, but it's believed to be the first deacons that were set apart. There were 7 men. It said the apostles said, choose from yourselves 7 men that are full of faith and the Holy Spirit and wisdom to take care of waiting on the tables, because the apostles didn't have time to do all that. That doesn't mean they weren't unwilling to be a servant. What that means is they just didn't have time to take care of all the details of the church like that. They had to be focused on the most important things, and that was, and when they listed them, being a persons of prayer and of the word. And so that is a good example there as well. So we must be people of prayer and the word. And this must be a priority, because you're a lot of times as a leader, and even for yourself, you are making decisions and you're making leadership advances or whatever it might be, including other people. So it is very, very good that we would be people of prayer. So verse 2, going back to verse 2, it says, we must hear from God, I put down there. Prayer about decisions and take direction. As a leader, that's what a leader does. He steps out in faith and says, look, this is what we're going to do. And so going back to verse 2 there, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. They were getting direction from God. So they had to be able to hear from God and to be able to act on that. Now, it doesn't say there how the Holy Spirit, if it's the Holy Spirit spoke to them audibly or how that works, I'm not sure on all that. But however God speaks to you as you read the word. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of times for things in our life that aren't clear. You can't go to a verse, you know, a book in the Bible, an exact verse, and say, this is how I should do, because it doesn't apply. And when you look to the Bible to look for principles on the decisions you're about to make, that's obviously a good way to do it too. But there's certain things, for example, certain circumstances, you may need to hear from the Lord for that reason. It may be an open door or a closed door is how he reveals his will towards us. But however you feel the Lord leads you in these minute and important details of your ministry, you have to be able to develop that and to nurture that as a man of God, as a leader. Now, the last bullet point here I put out is, besides prayer and fasting, is sending out. Now, this would be, of course, this would be confined to the leaders of local assemblies or missionary groups. You're sending out other missionaries. You're sending out men or even women of God for a particular job. It could be something as small, if you want to use that as terms. It's not that the job is small, but I'm just saying, on a smaller scale, you could be sending, you're not sending them out in geographical ways, but you're praying over, say, a Sunday school teacher. You're giving them a commission for a specific ministry or for a specific task or a specific job. It doesn't necessarily mean geography, although it can. In this case, in Acts 13, they were sending them out on a missionary journey where they were, you know, they covered many hundreds of miles and maybe further. And like myself there, the picture I had at the beginning, I was about to embark on a trip that would send me out into areas outside of my normal, you know, I'd never been to some of these parts of the country before. So that's the idea there, sending them out. Now, the idea of in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 there, I think it's chapter 6 where it talks about some doctrines. It's saying they should move on. In the book of Hebrews, it says we should move on to things, you know, and it lists some doctrines that are they figure were basic. And one of those are the laying on of hands, the doctrine of laying on of hands. And again, just like fasting, that topic of laying on of hands, we're not going to get into a whole teaching on that. But just to say that there are different ways and reasons for laying on of hands, of course. It started in the Old Testament. It was a symbolic gesture of transferring the sins from the people to the goat, the scapegoat. That was one instance where they laid hands on the head of the goat. The other idea is in the way of healing. Jesus, of course, laid hands on people and healed them. He didn't always lay hands on people to heal them, but a lot of times he did. It talks about that in the book of James, about anointing with oil, laying hands on people. The verse there I have in the correlating scripture on my notes, 1 Timothy 5:22, where it says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." I believe that's talking about laying on hands on someone when you are affirming them for a job in the body of Christ, or a commission to them to do a specific thing, because you're standing up for them. You're putting your reputation on the line, saying we believe that this person has a good character, he's got a proven track record, whatever it might be. So if you do that too soon and the person turns out to be a flake, then you're embarrassed. And that's why this scripture's there. It tells us don't do it hastily. You don't want to share in their sins. They may not be, you know, they may not even be a Christian. I mean, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of imposters and false teachers and all these sorts of things. But if going back to our text in Acts 13, it says being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that's something else I wanted to make clear here. The act of a church or a group of elders laying hands on a person to send them out, what they are doing, in essence, they are agreeing with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is the one who really calls someone and really is the one who's sending them. And the people, the elders or the group, they're just sort of recognizing that the Holy Spirit's call is upon this person's life. So in essence, it's co-laboring with God. Yes, the men are sending them out, but ultimately you're being sent out by God. But the men, by laying hands on, by commissioning you and sending you out for a task to do a missionary work or whatever it might be, they're basically, they're in concurrence. They're in agreement with that the Holy Spirit is the one that is calling you and is ordaining you. So there's an ordination by men, but hopefully the ordination by men is just a validation that you're really being ordained by God. It's because there are many people, you can be ordained by men or by a missionary group or a church or a denomination, and you may not have been ordained really by God at all. So we don't want to get into that. There's times when you may be ordained by God, and for whatever reason, you're not recognized by men. And that's okay too. You just have to be humble. And in due time, if it's important that these other people lay their hands on you to give you that official send off, it will happen. I remember, you know, when I was a young Christian, I was sort of chomping at the bit to get recognition, to get approval. I don't know if it was my own insecurity or what. And so I was trying to sort of push this process. And when you feel comfortable in your own skin, as it were, if you feel comfortable in the ministry God's called you to, you don't necessarily have to be recognized by men. It's not a priority. But it is something that is nice to have it done. It's scriptural. So if the more you can have scriptural basis for your ministry, you want to run on all cylinders, if you will. And that's what we would encourage is we want to run on the efficiency of all cylinders. It'd be like a race car to win the race. They want to have the best tires, the best fuel. They want to have a tune-up. They want to have every edge they can to make sure they can win the race. And if we're out there as ministers, and I'm speaking now mainly to evangelists, if you're an evangelist out there, a street preacher or street evangelist person of any sort, we want to run on all cylinders, if you will. And so if we can do these things that are scriptural, we need to have some sort of tie or association, I believe, with a local church. Now, it doesn't have to be a traditional non-denominational. It can be a house church. It just has to be a bona fide group of other Christians, so we're not, you know, we're not lone rangers, as it were. Even though many times I was out there preaching on the street, I was alone at the time I was preaching. But the ministry at large was not by itself. And of course, that's another video that I'm going to be doing. Anyway, that's it on this episode number 2. I hope you've enjoyed the video. If you have any comments or concerns or questions about the video, by all means, you can shoot me an email. My contact information is all over the place in the descriptions and everything else. So with that, we'll sign off and thank you. And may God bless you.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.